Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, he seems to reiterate some portions of what he said in Deuteronomy 10, talking about Moses. Now, when things are repeated in the Bible, it shows the importance of that thing. So he comes back and he did it in chapter 6, then he did it in chapter 10, and then I think it's one other chapter that he comes back and he tells us the same thing. And Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And I have to tell you, in the book of Matthew's added, "And we have to love him with all our mind." So in here, we have to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our mind. Those are the things so far that we know that we have to love him with these things, these parts of our body. And verse 6, and he says, and these words shall I command thee this day, shall be in your heart. These words that he's talking about in verse 5, he said, I command you this day, they shall be in your heart. Saints of God, this is why I'm telling you, let these words resonate in you so that they can be in your heart. It's not going to be any good to you in your head. It's got to be in your heart. And in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you're sitting in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou rise up. Verse 8, and ye shall bind them upon thine hand, and thou shall be as, and they shall be as frontlets upon thy head. Saints of God, they shall be as frontlets. And it says between thine eyes, but it means as a band, a scarf tied around your head. You're supposed to wear it like this. And this is not literal. It's not a literal band that you wear. It's a command. But they were to keep these laws and distinctively in view. That's what that means when you wear it around your head and between your eyes. That means it was literal. It literally means it's a commandment.
All right, family, you have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual One Man at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all
Alexandria
together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307.
That's
tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I am excited about this third part of our teaching because it is perhaps the most personal part, where the preparation up to this point leads you to the knowledge of how to get out of the Word all of the benefit of the Word based on the Word. And, you know, too many of us are just hitting and missing it when it comes to the promises of God and to the principles of God. We are living life in I hope things go well state. I pray this happens for me. I wish this door would open for me. Well, the truth of the matter is God has given us much more authority than we're operating in. He has given us a higher level of privilege than we're living on. And we have not necessarily through desire, but rather through not knowing what our privileges are. Therefore, not only have we perished in terms of many of the promises that were made to us not being fulfilled, but many of us lack the fulfillment and the enrichment of life because we don't know how to access those things that God has given to us. Now, as I've said, God has released many things to you that's not yet shown up at your doorstep. And it's not God's fault. There is an interference in between glory and earth. And Satan has that part where he runs interference. Now, he can't stop it, but he can sure slow it down. And especially if you don't know it's coming. If you have no idea that you've been blessed and a blessing has your name on it, you have no recourse to claim it because you're living without that knowledge. But once you are educated in the Word of God and you have that knowledge, then it changes the whole game because you know what God has given to you, and if you don't have it, then that means interference has interfered. And Satan is the king of interference. So that means that he has somehow blocked, slowed down your passes. And so you have the right and the authority to invite the power of God to do whatever God says it'll do. Now, one important point I want to point out again is the fact that Jesus prayed the prayer when he taught his disciples how to pray in the model prayer, that we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, now, why would Jesus tell his disciples to pray that prayer if God's will was being done on earth? Because his will is rarely done on earth. And God cannot interfere because he has leased this world out to the enemy for a certain period of time, which is why the only way God can interfere in man's affair is if man gives himself to God, then making him God's property again, meaning he's been redeemed, repurchased, rebought, so that God can have control. Once God has control, God enters in this earth realm through human personality, and he affects this world through us. So if there's going to be any change, guess who he's going to use? Us. If he's going to make a difference, guess who he's going to use? When he told the disciples pray, when he looked at the harvest and said, you know, the fields are white, you know, ready to be harvested, pray ye that the Lord will send laborers into the vineyard. Guess who he said? Us. See, so it's important to understand he uses us to be a part of the miracle we want to be a part or have in our lives. He uses us to be a part to the answer of our prayers. We're a part of the process. Even in the part of our redemption, Jesus was there under the weight of the cross. And when he fell, they got one of us to help him bear the cross of Simon of Cyrene, talking about human personality now, to involve him in the redemption process so that man would be a part of his own redemptive process. So you must be a part. God wants to use you in everything he does for you. Now, we talked about the wisdom of the word. And from that, we moved on to the working of the word. And now we're down to the win from the word. Now, why is this so important? Because all of the rest means nothing if you don't get to this part. It means nothing for you, I should say. Because you don't win. You don't win. You win when you know the word, that's through the wisdom, and you understand the operation of the word, which means you don't have to. Well, let me ask you a question. Whose idea was it when the blind man, Bartimaeus, called for Jesus to stop on the road to get his sight? Jesus or the man, Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus' idea. The woman with the issue of blood, whose idea was it? Jesus' idea or her idea? All right, now I'm trying to show you some points. See, the miracle you are waiting on may be because you're not ready for it. You have got to determine when you're ready for certain things to happen. And so when you know the truth and know the word and know how it operates, then you stop waiting on it and you start doing what it says and operating in it according to faith, and then trusting God that the results will be what God said they will be. And so the Bible says, Matthew 5:2, you can just jot some of these scriptures down. I'm just going to walk through a few of them just to get us where we're going. Jesus had gone into a high mountain, and when he was set, he sat down, and the Bible says, and taught them. Jesus taught them. Now, I've said before to you, that preaching challenges folk, but teaching changes. Teaching changes. Well, let me tell you why teaching changes. One, because it, teaching the word, nourishes you. It nourishes you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. See, true believers want to know, what does God say? What does the word say? Yeah, I don't want all of that. Yeah. Give me something I can hold on to. Give me something I can go back and read. Give me something I can search. Give me something that will hold me in the midnight hours. Give me something that will anchor me during the storm. Give me something that my soul needs, and that's nourishment from the word of God. All of this is for your soul, okay? Not only does it nourish you, but it also nurtures you. Teaching nurtures you. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. All right? Because teaching nurtures you and takes you from one place to the next place, which is the third point. It also navigates. Teaching navigates you from where you are to where God wants you to be. It literally takes you from where you are in not knowing to knowing. It takes you from your present place to the destiny God has for you. All of that is a part of it. Now, there are at least three things that's necessary in teaching for it to make this impact: time, attention, and retention. And repeat the process. Time, attention, retention. You see, you're going to have to spend time. See, preaching challenges. It just excites you. And it gets you hyped and ready, and it got your attention, but it don't tell you nothing else. And you're like, whoa, I'm excited. But What do I do next? Teaching, after you are excited, tells you, now this is what we do next. And it unfolds the plan. And so it takes time. You've got to do it. Got to do it. Got to take out time. It takes you paying attention to details. You've got to spend time paying attention. Thirdly, every time you go through paying attention, you will retain something you didn't get before. Or it'll take you to a new level of understanding. Now that's important. Having said this, I'll now throw out this principle for you, that teaching is a repetitive approach, meaning this: repetition creates persuasion. Repetition creates persuasion, not truth. What do you mean not truth? Okay, let me put it this way. Truth is truth is truth. But truth doesn't change you at simply hearing it one time. Truth has to be repeated over and over and over again. That's why God only gave you one Bible. And most of us will not master it between now and the grave. Because the truth of the matter is, all that is in that word is in there, but all that is to come out has not come out. So the truth of the matter is, he wants you to go over it and over it and over and over again until you retain more and more and more and get more and more out of it and learn more and more so that you can practice it more and more to be able to do. All of it comes down to you being able to do. Now listen at this. So keep that in mind. Retention is a part of all of this going over. Not just going over it to go over it. You're going over it to keep something every time you go over it. You want to be able to know more and more and more every time you go over this. You're not just going over it to be going over it. It's a purpose to it. Now, repetition is important because listen at this. Let's try and get this concept. I could power lift 300 pounds. 300 pounds, jumped in, throw it down. When you look at me, I won't look no different. No different. But if I take that same 300 pounds, break it into 30 pounds, and do 10 sets of repetitions of 30 pounds, before you know it, muscles will be bulging and carrying on. I'll be walking around like this. What's wrong with Pastor? Why are you walking? Because it will create, it will develop my muscles because of repetition. You get that point? You have got to do it, and the repetition is what makes the difference, not the pounds. So listen, if truth would have been the thing that changed people, then you wouldn't have to preach a message but one time. And things would be changed. But it's changing through the teaching process that makes the difference. And so here, when we get to this part, this is where we learn that we've got to work the program for the program to work for us. This is all about doing. All about doing. One more little quick illustration. The other day, I challenged my mind. I said, you know what? We're gonna work out because I'm, you know, as most of you know, I'm committed to losing some weight this year, and some of you all have committed with me. And so we're going to be, you know, marking our progress as we go along. But one day I wanted to do something a little different. So I challenged myself to a 90-minute workout. 45 minutes of cardio on the bike. Just going on the bike, on the bike, on the bike. After those 45 minutes, decided I'm going to do about 15 minutes or so stair climbing. Okay. All right. Then I decided I'm going to do 30 minutes of weights. I broke them down into bicep, tricep muscles. And then I decided I'd do the last 15 minutes of power lifting. Did not break a sweat. Barely moved my heart rate up. Barely moved it up. After 90 minutes of workout. Does anybody know why? Because I did it in my mind. And then when I got ready to do the real workout, I was puffing after 5 minutes. Ooh, Jesus. How long has it been? 5 minutes? Jesus, the time seemed to go slow when you're not having fun. And so there is a difference between thinking it and doing it. The results don't come until you what? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. So here we go. When we get to that, we're talking about practicing, practicing, practicing. That's the third and the part of when. You've got to practice. That's what practice is set up to do, to cause you to work out the kinks, to work out all of the necessary elements that will prevent you from performing properly. Practice helps you to become perfect at whatever you practice. That's why practice must be perfectly practiced in order to become perfect. You become perfect at whatever you practice. But you only become perfect when you perfectly practice. And so understand that you don't get it after one time. You've got to go over it. And anything, anybody, any discipline requires practice doing it over and over and over and over again. There must be technique to the practice. There must be a structure to the practice. You can't do it any kind of way. You have to do it according to the instructions, according to the directions. And so why is that important? Because if you don't do it the way the word says do it, it's not going to come out the way the word said it'll come out. And you say, well, I've been doing it, but have you been doing it correctly? And then what you got to realize is that it's not going to happen until that time of perfection comes. See, the reason why every team you know that's a professional, the reason they're professionals is because they are paid to do what they do. They have risen to a level of perfection that people will pay them to do what they do. And so they have to practice more so because that's their livelihood now. And you don't know a professional on television today, be it football, basketball, hockey, soccer, whatever it is, gymnast, whatever, who gets up and perform on game day without practice, without rehearsal, without going over it over and over and over and over again until you perfect it. And when you perfect it, you make sure it's perfected by going over it some more. And so that's why that's important. It's important. Listen, you expose the principles. You got all of that already in the first two. Then you have the examples. But the exposure to these examples is for you to execute, to practice it, to do it. Listen to what Jesus said, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not, and you shall hear the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice the word know, that's knowledge. That has a lot more connotation connected with the wisdom and the ability to know a thing beyond the surface. And so when you truly know the principles, then that means you know what it takes to make the principle come alive in you, and that's practicing it. So when you know it, listen, and do it, then the difference is going to come. Not before them. Not before them. Not just having a gym membership and not using it is going to give you those rock hard abs. Or bring your weight down. Or bring your body into that sculpted look that you got. Or just keep you healthy. Just having a membership is not going to do that. Practicing it. Doing it. Over and over and over again. Time, attention, retention. Repeat it. See, you know, even though the discipline and the science may be sure, the practice isn't. You got to do it all over again. Why do you think they call the doctors and the lawyers medical practice? Law practice. They win some and lose some. But they keep on, y'all going to catch it in a while. Life is like that. You make some decisions. You know better, but you didn't enact all that you know. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you don't give up. You keep on practicing it until you get it to the point where it's perfect. And then you start making better decisions, and better decisions yield better consequences. And the quality of life goes up and up and up. So again, you're exposed so that you can have examples, so that you can execute. That's again what Romans 15 and 4 says, that all of these things were written aforetime for your learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures you might have hope. Hope of what? Of having what the scripture says, of what the example showed you, of what the knowledge taught you. That's important. That's important. Why, again, I get the win out of the word when I not just know the word, not just understand the working of the word, but when I do the word. Do the word. Philippians 4 and 9. Those things. Listen. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of times you want other folk anointings, you want that blessing, you want to be able to do like them do. Well, do what they do. God's not going to give you their anointing or anointing like theirs, and you've not put in the time, the effort, the training, or anything like that. That would not be fair of God. If listen, I played a few instruments in band when I was coming up in school, but I didn't do like Dr. Jackson. And so Dr. Jackson can play multiple instruments and write music and do all of that. I can't do all of that. And I would never, ever get a job in music like he has gotten, because I'm not qualified, nor would it be right for me to. Because I never spent the time training, preparing to be what he has been. So for me to pray, Lord, I want to be the maestro of the human jukebox one day, like Dr. Jackson was. And Lord be like, you missed it. Matter of fact, you done started so late in the game, I doubt that you'd have time to catch up at this point. That's just how much time and attention and retention and all that he spent in preparation to get to where he was to be able to accomplish it. And anybody else who has been successful in anything else that they've done, you can't expect the anointing of God to fall on you and it hasn't cost you anything. So be careful about what it is you ask God for and not worthy of. Because whenever you ask God to do something in you, God's going to require something of you. He's going to require something of you. And God wants you to understand how he operates so you'll know better how to do this. Now, again, We're talking about practicing. Somebody say practicing. Practice is so important because